Okay. Trumas, we begin discussing like a whole new area of Chumash. And really, this is the whole Tachlis, the Ramban writes in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, that we're really building towards the Geula and the ultimate redemption is not just physically being free, but spiritually being free with the Kodesh Baruch Hu underneath the Mishkan. But in this parish, we have one of the most interesting psukim. I mean, at least according to Yaakov Kamenetsky. So you got to see this. It's a beautiful Torah he says here, he shares with us. He says, Vasisa sakrashim atse shitim omdim. They should, you know, you should make the krashim, the beams, atse shitim, cedarwood, omdim, that are standing. And Rashi tells us, where did these cedar trees come from in order that they use for the beams in the Mishkan? It says, Me'osana omdim yuchodim lekach Yaakov Avinu, nota arazim b'mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu planted these trees in Mitzrayim, ukashemes, and after he died, tziva levonav lahalosim imayim. He commanded his children to take it with him, to take them with them, kishyot Mitzrayim v'amalahem. And he told them, she'asid l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tzavis l'asos mishkan. In the end of the day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to command you to make the mishkan, b'midbar me'atzei shitim, he was going to command you to use the atzei shitim, roshim z'manim b'yadcha, make sure you have them ready in your hands. Okay? And Rashi really is only telling us part of the story. There's really a preamble to the story, kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, we saw Star Wars, and apparently there's a pre-Star Wars to the Star Wars now. That was when I was a kid. There are different ones. But anyway, so here, what's the preamble to this particular story? Is that whose trees did Yaakov, where did he get these trees that he planted in Mitzrayim? They originated from Be'er Sheva. And how did Yaakov get these trees from Be'er Sheva? Those really were the trees of Avram Avinu, where Avram Avinu had planted those trees in Be'er Sheva initially. So the question that everybody asks is, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has two beautiful, beautiful answers.
Who said that they were in the trees?
That comes from Medrash Rabba. Is that who? What was the significance of these particular trees that it was necessary for Yaakov to go out and to take them to Mitzrayim and command his kids? What's going on in this particular story? So Yaakov Kamenetsky has a beautiful answer, and it is a very psychological answer. You see, Yaakov Avinu had a big fear when he went down to Mitzrayim, and we all know the story that before he went down to Mitzrayim, he went to Be'er Sheva. And what did the Torah tell us he did in Be'er Sheva? The Torah doesn't relate to us that he took the trees. The Torah relates to us the fact that he brought a korban. He brought korbanos, and he had this conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells him, don't worry, your children are going to be okay, right? He says they're going to be a galus, they're going to be a geula. But what do we see from this particular story? We see that, you know, why is the Kodesh Baruch Hu telling Yaakov not to worry? Because clearly Yaakov was worried. So what does Yaakov do? Yaakov now has to come up with a plan in order to keep his kids on the close. He knows they're going down to Mitzrayim. And if I were a father and my children were going off into a foreign land where the culture is connected mine, and they're going to Mitzrayim, I knew that they would have all these tests, and who knows what would happen, and they're going to go through slavery, and you know, this was all documented in the Brit Spedah B'Sarim. So Yaakov is worried. So Yaakov psychologically wants to create a plan via which there would be a focus to keep the Jews on the straight and narrow. So what does he do? He takes the tree that Avram planted, and he brings it with him to Mitzrayim. And he tells them, when you go out, use this tree. Use the cedar wood for the Mishkan, which you're eventually going to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, you know, tell you to make in the Midbar. So what is he implanting in Klal Yisrael's head? He's telling them that there's going to be a redemption. When you're going through slavery, there's going to be a redemption. Anybody in life knows that when you're going through a very difficult time, the easiest way to go through a difficult time and not to despair and not to give up hope is to know that there is a future redemption. To know that there's going to be an end at the end of the line. Mashal Mahadavadomi, you should all be zocha to have this, is when you're going through childbirth. Could you imagine the pain? No, we can't imagine. I always like to tell my wife, yes, I could imagine what it's like to have childbirth. I once had a stone. Yes, yeah, that was an amazingly painful experience, and you go through it, and at the end of the day, there you give birth to a little stone. So there, the pain is not worth it. But childbirth is an agonizingly, sometimes it could take a long time. Some people I've heard 20, you know, my mother, 24 hours of labor. The amount of time that people are in this tremendous pain is unbelievable. But what gets people through that particular pain? What gets people through that particular pain is knowing at the end of the whole event, they're going to be blessed with the most beautiful thing in the world. A child. Something that's going to continue. So therefore, it's kedai. It's worth it for people to go through the pain of labor in order that they could have that child. And that gets them through that pain in the difficult time. Similarly, Yaakov Avinu has this tremendous psychological insight. It's amazing. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky uses this word, his emissary Yaakov. He used the word psychologia, right? He has this amazing psychological idea that I'm going to help Klal Yisrael get through their pain. Namely, I'm going to take that cedar tree and I'm going to plant it. And through planting it, they're going to see it. And every time they see it, they're going to be like, okay, we're going to get through this difficult time. It kind of reminds me, not exactly, but in 1948, the Arabs, Achshemo, when they went into Gush, and Imamish, they went, and they destroyed everything. There was nothing left of the Jews. But they had planted one tree. So they always, from Yerushalayim, they were able to see the tree. I don't know if you ever went to the Gush Museum, but they talk about this tree. And they were always able to see the tree. And they knew, they saw the tree, they saw that their fruits were still, their figurative fruits were still there. And if they paid attention, they could still get back there. When they got back in 67, that they were able to see those particular fruits. So this is an amazing idea, that the cedar tree is sitting there, the Atzei Shittim was sitting there all the time, and Klal Yisrael is kind of clinging to that hope, and figuratively hanging on to the tree for the future. And the Gemara in Megillah, there's a famous Gemara in Megillah that relates a little bit to this, that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about this in a number of places, and back in Parashas Vayigash, there's a he quotes the famous Maimar Chazal, that there was despair. Avram Avinu was worried, what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael and the Golis? So what's going to happen when Klal Yisrael does an Avera? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no problem, they'll bring Korbanos and they'll take care of it. So Avram Avinu says, that works out beautifully. There's Gemara Megillah Lamed Aleph and the Beis. That works out beautifully when Klal Yisrael has the Beis HaMikdash. But when they don't have a Beis HaMikdash, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? So the answer was, I'm going to set up an order for them to say Korbanos each and every day. And if they say Korbanos each and every day, then they're going to be atoned for their particular others. So it's a very strange Gemara, right? On the one hand, we think, okay, so just the verbalization of the Korbanos is kilu, I'm bringing Korbanos. So just like the Korbanos atone for my Averis, so too the saying of the Korbanos atone for my Averis. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says it's much deeper than that. He says it's the same idea again. What's this idea? That when I have something that visualizes what the future will be, that gets me through the difficult times. When we say Korbanos each and every day, which you should get to shul on time, right? And when I was a kid, nobody said Korbanos. Now you guys are Woodmere Lamashal, right? They don't start Mizmor Shir until 8:05. So some people say, oh great, I don't have to come for the first 5 minutes. No. But when you say Korbanos, Sfaradim have it right. They say Korbanos before Mincha. That's more, you know, that makes a little bit more sense. You know, before Mincha, it's a good time to say Korbanos, because who gets the Mincha late? I mean, a couple of Jews who do, but most Jews come to shul on time. But when you're saying Korbanos, but, you know, in those 5 minutes, what you're really doing is you're holding on to the fact, what's going to keep a Jew on the straight and narrow? When you hold on to the fact that eventually there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to return. So each and every day when we say those Korbanos, psychologically what that does to us is tell us that there's a future. There's a future for Jews. There's a future back where we belong in Eretz Yisrael by the Beis HaMikdash. Just like they looked out in Mitzrayim. Could you imagine each and every day they were doing that back-breaking work? I don't know if it's worth it. And then they looked up and they saw the tree that Yaakov Avinu planted and said, we're going to get out. That's amazing. That holds them together. So that's insight number one that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky shares. But then Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, he takes it one more step further. He says there's something else. He says that the Medrash tells us a little bit, it quotes the Gemara in Yuma. There are three answers to this question. It says, Atzei Shittim Omdim. So why does it say the Atzei Shittim Omdim, that the beams have to be standing? Of course they have to be standing, because if they weren't standing, the whole thing would fall. Like, it doesn't work. Why does it say Omdim? So the Gemara gives three answers. But the third answer that the Gemara in Yuma says, funny that I was at a wedding last night, and the rabbi under the chuppah spoke, and he had said over this particular, not this Torah, but he said, oh, there are three possibilities in the word Omdim, like that's so funny. I had already thought to say this. Okay, but this way Hashem runs the world. There's no such thing as a coincidence, merely a coincidence. Anyway, Rabbi Friedman's line. Right, that line. So, what does it mean, Omdim? So says Rabbi Yaakov, says the Gemara, Omdim li olmei olamim, that it's going to be permanent. That the Atzei Shittim are going to be permanent. So Avram Avinu wants to make it permanent. Avram Avinu Yaakov Avinu, excuse me, wants to make it permanent. So he goes and he grabs dafka the trees that Avram Avinu planted. Why those trees? So there's a famous Gemara in Bava Metzia that the Torah was going to be forgotten, and Reb Chiya wanted to make sure that it would stay forever. So what did Reb Chiya do? He planted flax, and he wove the traps from flax. He caught deer. He fed the orphans meat. He made parchments from the skin. He wrote the Chamishei Chum Shei Torah. He did every single aspect. He could have gone to the store and bought parchment. What was the whole point in the whole Torah of going through each and every stage and making sure that it would work perfectly and it was done l'shem shemayim? Because Reb Chiya understood, in order for Torah to stand, in the very process in which it was going to be established, it had to be done in the most beautiful, pristine way. And therefore, Reb Chiya took the extra length of doing the initial foundation, because the Torah was going to be forgotten at that particular point, of going through the particular foundation. He went through and he made sure that each flax, every single thing was planted perfectly. And then the Torah was able to last. So that's what Reb Chiya did in the Gemara Bava Metzia. So Yaakov Avinu says the same thing. In order for the Mishkan to be a building that lasts forever, it has to be physically done in a way in which that it is made lishma, and each and every aspect of it is done perfectly. So the initial trees Avraham Avinu planted, why did Avraham Avinu plant those initial trees? Because people needed shade. It was done purely as a pure act of chesed. That's what Avraham Avinu thinks, right? It was a pure act of chesed. He plants the trees, and people are able to come by and hang out in the shade, so to speak, and able to enjoy themselves. Yaakov Avinu says, this is the kind of tree we need in order to make the Mishkan last. It was a tree that was planted l'shem shemayim. This is the tree that's planted l'shem shemayim. Take it to Mitzrayim. When you leave, make sure the one tree that you use, the cedar that you go to use for the beams, it's got to come from these trees. It can't come, stop, you could have made, got picked up a tree in the Midbar, I mean they could, but you could have made a, got taken a tree from Mitzrayim. You know, trees don't grow in the desert. They taught you that sometime in ecology or something like that. Right? You can cactus, you can't. But you could have made a tree somewhere in Mitzrayim. But why dafka these trees that Avraham Avinu planted? The insight here is phenomenal. That when it's established, the bias, the Mishkan, it has to be established through chesed. It has to be established in a beautiful way. And when it's established in a beautiful way, then it can be everlasting. Again, nobody here getting married. I mean, somebody is maybe, God possibly, you know, in the near future, you're getting engaged. But if somebody were, how does a building last? It's that at its very outset, in the building of it, it has to be done l'shem shemayim. Says in Pasuk, V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'solcham. Right? Everybody always talks about the second part of Pasuk, V'asuli mikdash, singular, v'shachanti b'solcham, ayin nefesh achayim, ayin amarsha. Plenty of answers given to that. But asuli mikdash, says Rashi, l'shmi. And the very foundation of the building, if you want it to be something that is everlasting, it has to be done l'shmi. It has to be done for my purpose. And this is what the yesod here is. The yesod that Rabbi Yaakov is trying to establish is that these trees that were planted by Avraham Avinu was planted for chesed purposes. This is going to be that which literally takes root, and it's going to hold the entire Mishkan together because it was done lishmi. So the two very beautiful lessons Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky learns out from this medrash is, number one, is that psychologically when you see the end, it gets you through the tough times. That's a beautiful idea. Always look at the end to get through the beginning. And number two is that in the very formulation, in the very foundations, it has to be done properly. And when the foundations are done properly, then you're going to have a building that lasts forever. Have a wonderful Shabbos.